This morning's sermon is called The Work of the Holy Spirit from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 1 through 15. As we continue to go through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. If you brought your Bible with you, please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. As we go through the Word of God, Gospel of John, chapter 16. We left off last Sunday with Jesus telling his disciples at the end of chapter 15, if you want to bounce up to that, verse 26. Jesus said, "When the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness of me, because you have been with me since the beginning." So let's pick up now in verses 1 through 4. Jesus continued with, "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he's offering God a service." And verse 3 says, "And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me, but these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you them, and these things I did not say to you from the beginning, because I was with you." So Jesus, in verse 1 and 4, he says, "I've spoken to you, I have told you," right? Two things. So when these things happen, you're not surprised, you're not amazed, right? We read similar things last Sunday when the Apostle John wrote in his first epistle, chapter 3, verse 13, he says, "Don't be amazed, brethren, if the world persecutes you because you belong to me." He's saying the same thing to the disciples. Jesus tells them, "I want you to know that I know that the things that are going to happen to you," okay, they're going to go out into the world and share the gospel. Jesus says, I want you to know that I know of the things that are coming. What things? Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, "When they put you out of the synagogues, yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God a service." Look at verse 4. "But in fact," Jesus says, "they don't even know God." Jesus said, "They do not know me or the Father." We see this going on in the world, right? These radical religions, beheading Christians, they think they're doing God a service. Jesus says, "They don't even know us. And judgment awaits every one of them." You know, the Apostle Paul, he wrote in Romans 10:2, he said, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." Which tells us, you can have a zeal for God, you can be very passionate about God, and completely miss his heart, his intentions, and his will. Amen? You may think, "Oh, I have a zeal for God, I'm passionate about God," but you may be doing just the opposite of his will. It's possible to say, "I'm serving God, I'm doing his will," and yet you're doing just the opposite. Paul was probably thinking of himself when he wrote this, right? He used to be a Pharisee, right? He was part of the religious establishment prior to coming to Christ, and he persecuted the church, which we know he had a real zeal for God, but not according to knowledge until he came to Christ. He thought he was doing God a favor, by the way, persecuting the church, right? But yet he was doing just the opposite of God's will. The religious leaders that persecuted Jesus and the disciples, they had a real zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And this is why they persecuted the church. Jesus said, "Because they did not know me, and they do not know my Father. That's why they do these things." Let's take a look at verse 5 through 7. Jesus continued with, "But now I go away to him, the Father, who sent me, and none of you ask me, where am I going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless," in other words, I'm going to tell you anyway, "nevertheless, guys, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Jesus was telling the disciples, "You think it's best that I stay? But I assure you it is not. It is to your advantage," Jesus said, "that I go away. It is to your benefit that I go away so I can send the Holy Spirit to you." To you. "I'm sending you out as wolves. I'm sending you out as sheep among the wolves," right? Jesus told them, "to share the gospel, but I cannot be with every one of you," because he was in the flesh. Okay? "I cannot be with every one of you. But when I go back to the Father, I will send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit from the Father, and the Spirit of God." Listen, he will be with each and every one of you everywhere you go. I can't be with you in the flesh. Yes, he's God. He's fully man, fully God. I can't be with you everywhere. Jesus walked everywhere. He didn't snap his fingers. He was in Galilee. Then he was in Bethsaida. No, no, no. He was still in the flesh. He'd emptied himself. He's in the flesh. He says, "So I need to go back to the Father. I'm going to send you the Spirit. He's going to live among you, and everywhere you go, he's going to be with you. So you're not doing this alone. You're not doing this. Same with you. Same with me. Same thing. So you're not going to be alone. He's going to testify of me, and you're going to go bear witness of me. And he will be with you, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor. He will be with you." So Jesus tells them, he says, "Listen, guys, it's to your advantage that I go, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to each and every one of you." Jesus was like, "If I stay and I send you guys all out to different places," which he did, "you're going to be scattered all over the place. Who am I going to go with? Am I going to go with Peter? All he does is shoot his mouth off. Am I going to go with Thomas? All he does is doubt everything. Am I going to go with John? He thinks I only love him." So Jesus said, "I got a better idea, fellas. I'm going to go back to the Father, and I'm going to send his Holy Spirit to each and every one of you. Each and every one of you." He says, "Listen, so we can be with you everywhere. Everywhere you go." You know, these men were so distraught over the thought of Jesus leaving them. Right? He had told them many things, many promises, but they were so distraught over the fact of him leaving. Even though he said, "I'm going to send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit. He'll be with you." But they were like, "No, don't go. No, 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 no. Don't leave us, Jesus. We've given up everything to follow you. Don't leave us now." They were distraught over the thought of him leaving them. Now listen, we're looking 100 years away now, okay? It's easy for us to read this, right? Because we're standing years away from this, right? We look back, right? We do. We say, "Oh, it's a good thing that Jesus died for us. It's a good thing that Jesus took our sins to the cross with him. It's a good thing he rose from the dead so we could become born again. And now the Holy Spirit can come and live within our heart, and he can empower us to live for him." But they didn't see that. It's easy for us to see, right? We would have done the same thing. Don't go, Jesus. Don't go, Lord. Remember, these fellows, they only had the Old Testament. Okay? They didn't have the New Testament. They wrote the New Testament through the Holy Spirit of God. They didn't have what we have. So to look back, we can kind of be in their shoes and be like, oh, Lord Jesus, don't leave. Don't leave now. Let's take a look at verse 8 through 11. I want you to listen really carefully to these verses right here. Listen real carefully to what Jesus says. He said, and when He, the Holy Spirit, has come, He will convict the world of, listen, sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. One of the works of the Holy Spirit. Three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment, right? Look. Because they do not believe in me. Let me just read that again for you. He, the Holy Spirit, is going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. What does all this mean? I'm so glad you asked. Let's go through it. Jesus gives us three works of the Holy Spirit right here. First thing the Holy Spirit does, He convicts the heart of sinful men and women. Okay? So first thing He does, convicts the heart of sinful men. No one will look for a Savior if they think they don't need one. Right? Why do I need a Savior? I'm not a sinner, right? That's what they think, right? No one's going to look. So the Holy Spirit comes and goes, no. I'm going to convict you of your sin so you turn to a Savior, Jesus Christ. Right? This is a different, by the way, conviction that's inside of the believer, okay? This is two. The Holy Spirit has many works of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is going to give us something this morning in this passage. But this type of conviction is different than inside a believer, right? When you are born again and the Holy Spirit lives within you and you do things that you shouldn't do, right? And the Holy Spirit that lives within you, He convicts you of those sins, right? That's why you feel bad, right? You sin, you do something like, oh, lady, like, oh, Lord, please forgive me. I shouldn't have did that, shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have said that, whatever it is. That's the sign of a true believer, that you sin and it truly bothers you. If sin doesn't bother you, you're not in Christ Jesus. I'm just going to tell you that right now. If you can sin and it doesn't bother you one bit, you are not in Christ Jesus. Because the work of the Holy Spirit that comes and lives within you, when you do sin, He's going to bring you to your knees and say, no, Sean, we're not doing that anymore since coming to Christ. You're living for me now, remember? It's no more me, self, me, myself, and I, you know all that. He said, no. You dropped to your knees. You said you've given your life to me. You're living for me now. That's a different conviction here that we're reading about. That's inside the believer. Jesus is talking to unbelievers in this passage, okay? So I don't want you to get confused with that. He's talking to unbelievers. Jesus is saying that one of the works of the Holy Spirit is convicting or convincing, right, the world, unbelievers, of their sin. Notice sin is singular. You see that in your Bible? Right? You read that? Or on the screen? Sin is singular. Okay? He convicts the sin of unbelief in Jesus Christ. That one sin. Okay? Jesus said, they are guilty because they did not believe in me. It's the sin of unbelief, not sins, like when you're forgiven of your sins. He's talking about that one sin of unbelief in Jesus Christ. I want you to notice something. Did you notice that Jesus didn't say they didn't believe in God? even though he is God. He didn't say they didn't believe in God, because many people say, oh yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, in a general sense, right? But when you start bringing it down to the person of Jesus Christ, oh, the conversation changes, huh? You ever been there? Out sharing your faith, right? You say, oh yeah, God, yeah, we'll go to church. Oh, that's great too. Yeah, God. You say, well, let's talk about Jesus. Whoa, wait, changes everything. Changes everything. Right? That's when people start getting offended. Because now you're going to have to start talking about the cross. What Jesus did at the cross. How you responded to what Jesus did at the cross. Start talking about whether or not you have received the works that Jesus did on the cross. Now you're talking whether or not you're saved. And it changes the whole complexion of the conversation when you bring it down to the person of Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, these guys are guilty because they did not believe in me, the Son of God, God in the flesh, right? So Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he begins to convict them of their sin of unbelief in me. Not just that casual, oh yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, that's good. That's nice, you, right? That's, yeah. But are you serving them? Are you living for them? That's a big difference. You know, the thing is, too, Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is going to convict them of their sin of not believing in me. And listen, and because they have not taken into account what I did on their behalf on the cross. I went to the cross for them, and they rejected me. So he says, the Holy Spirit is going to convict them of that sin. Or convince them, so they turn, right? We were all there at once. We were all there before coming to Christ. The ultimate sin, I'm going to just tell you right now, the ultimate sin is not believing in Jesus Christ. That is the one sin that has sent millions of people to hell. Not believing in Jesus Christ, in who he is, in his word, in his works, that he rose from the dead, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he has given all authority to judge the living and the dead. They reject. Do you know what unbelief is? Unbelief is the refusal of Almighty God. You know what unbelief is? It's saying to God, hey, God, you go your way, I'll go mine. Tragic, huh? That's how God sees it when you reject the Lord. You go your way, I'll go my way, right? It's telling God, it's my life. I will not trust in you with it. I will not give it to you. I'm my own person. That's what unbelief is. You go your way, God, I'll go mine. Tragic. And unless they repent and believe in Jesus Christ with all their heart and soul and turn to him, judgment awaits them. We've been going through some sobering passages, huh? Lately, right? These aren't Cocoa Puff sermons here. You can find that down another church. They ain't never going to preach that here. You know, these cupcake sermons, God's going to bless you 10 times. No, come on. Let's talk about what Jesus says. Secondly, the Holy Spirit, did you notice that? Convicts the world of righteousness. Righteousness is the condition that God accepts. Okay? Righteousness is the condition God accepts. And the Holy Spirit comes, and this is what he does. He points to Jesus, and he says, hey, guys and girls, there's the standard right there. Jesus. He comes and he points to Jesus. He says, there's the standard right there, fellas. You know, it's easy to say, it's real easy to compare ourselves against others, right? That's easy, right? Everybody does that. Oh, yeah, well, I'm better than her, better than him. Listen, that doesn't work with God. He says, there's my son right there. Go stand next to him and see where you measure up. That's the word of God. And we only get to heaven through what? Jesus' righteousness. Makes sense, right? Only going to get into heaven through Jesus' righteousness. Through Him. That's it, right? 2 Corinthians 5:21, I've quoted this many times. He made Him, the Father made the Son, right? Sin, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. In Him, in Jesus. We'll only make it into heaven through Jesus' righteousness. I just want you to remember this right here. It's not what I've done. It's what He's done. Amen? It's what He's done for me and you, not me. It's not what I've done. It's what He's done. I'm going to heaven because of Him. Because of what He did for me right there. That's what separates me from the heathens out there, right there. That cross. That's it. Jesus said, no one can come to, right? No one can come to the Father except through what? Me. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the standard. He's the righteous one. We must all enter through Him. There is no other way. There is no door number two, door number three. He's the door. He's the door. He is the righteous one. Right? So the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin and of righteousness. And thirdly, Jesus says, He convicts the world of judgment. And the Holy Spirit is going to convict the convict in judgment the ruler of this world. We know who that is, right? The ruler of this world. Satan, right? Temporarily. He's the ruler of this world. The ruler, right? The cross of Christ is the means by which God condemned and judged the ruler of this world. Listen to what Paul wrote to Colossians 2:15. Paul wrote, having disarmed principalities and powers, he's talking about the devil and his demons, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, right? Jesus defeated the devil at the cross when He rose from the dead, right? He defeated the devil and his demons. Jesus made a spectacle of them. Now listen, most people live their lives like judgment is never coming. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus said the Holy Spirit convicts the world of judgment for ignoring the coming, right? For ignoring the coming judgment. Now, listen, it's not popular to preach on judgment, hell, death, sin, repentance. That's why there's so many seeker-friendly churches out there that are filled with unconverted souls. They don't want to preach on this. No one likes to preach on judgment, but Jesus said it's coming. Be prepared, right? Be prepared. Read my word. Be ready, right? Be ready. Be prepared, right? The Bible, right? I always tell people the Bible stands for, right? Right? Before leaving earth, right? Be prepared, right? There's all the instructions right there. Before leaving earth, know God's word. Know God's word. But I do want you to know, here's the good news. That's the bad news. Right? I mean, if you don't understand the bad news, you're never going to appreciate the good news, right? It's like God's grace. Until you realize how much of a sinner you are, you're never going to appreciate His amazing grace. Right? It's not going to mean anything to you. But I want you to know, if you are in Christ Jesus, you have been born again by the power of God through your faith in Jesus Christ. Judgment is past for you. It's gone. Past for you. Jesus paid your judgment at the cross. What do you say? Paid in what? Full. It is finished. I paid your judgment in full at the cross. Just come to me. Just come to me. Come to me by faith and believe in me. Believe in me means to trust in Greek. believe in me, right? Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's gone, past. We went from condemnation to acceptance. That's a good thing, huh? We went from dead in our sin to alive in Christ because of our faith in Him. Who in the world, I scratch my head on this all the time, who in the world would reject this free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ? You ever think about that? Free gift. Grace is a gift. It's something you did not earn, right? Someone gives you a gift, you didn't earn it. They gave it to you. Grace is a gift. Jesus says, I'm willing to give you the gift of salvation in me. Who in the world would say, no, thank you. No, thank you. Or what would keep somebody from coming to Christ and receiving this free gift? What could it be? I'll tell you what it is. Pride. Pride. Mostly pride. That's why. I'm no sinner. Why do I need a Savior? That's pride. I'm a good person. Then the Bible comes along and says, no, you're not. I'm only smiling because Michelle told me, hey, Sean, when you say things like that, you need to start smiling more. I said, this is serious stuff, honey. She said, no, Sean. When you start talking about sin, hell, death, and judgment, can you just smile a little? So that's why I'm smiling. I said, it's hard, honey, to tell people they're on their way to hell and smile after. You don't repent, you're on your way to hell. Man, she's a great coach. She keeps me so well grounded. Oh, she is a great coach. Let's go through our final verses. Let's take a look at verse 12 through 15. More works of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Remember, he's going to the cross the next day. We're hours away from the cross. He's like, you guys can't even handle milk. How am I going to give you solid foods? If I tell you now, you're not going to be able to bear it. However, when He, the Holy Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you in all into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you the things to come. He will glorify Me, says the Lord, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. I love that. He says, you belong to Me. The Father has given you to Me. And by no means will I ever cast you out. Therefore, here's one of our favorite words, right? Therefore, now that you know this, I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. Jesus is saying, there's still a lot of things for you to know, but you're not going to understand it right now. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them, right? To bear them means you're not going to be able to tolerate this. You're not going to be able to endure this when I'm going to, if I told you I'm going to be hanging on a cross within hours, and they're going to be yelling, crucify Him, crucify Him, and you're going to witness them beating me and me dying for you on the cross. You can't deal with this right now. I know that. You'll understand more later when the Holy Spirit comes and you see Me after I rise from the dead. It's kind of like when we first got saved, right? You remember the first day you got saved? Surrendered your life to Christ? You were on fire for the Lord. And you wanted to know everything in the Bible that day. Right? It takes time. It takes a lot of time to go through the Word of God. And Jesus is saying, you're not going to handle this. You're not going to believe this. It's going to take time as the Holy Spirit comes to live within you and guide you through my word. Nothing is better than being around a new born again Christian. Have you ever been around a new born again Christian? They are so on fire for the Lord. I hope you're still on fire for the Lord. There's nothing like it. They've come to Christ. They're born again. They're fire for the Lord. They're at church an hour before it starts. They're mad when it ends. They sit up here with 15 highlighters and 5 pens, and they're flicking through it. Right? Right? Man, nothing like it. Man, I hope you still got that fire inside your stomach and your heart for God. Jesus says, it's going to take some time, fellas. Just like it's going to take you time to understand his word. Hours combing through it. You ain't ever going to know God's will for your life if you don't pick your Bible up, by the way. You ain't never going to know. You're never going to even know just this many promises that God has for your life without reading it. So Jesus tells us, when the Holy Spirit comes, here's something else he's going to do. He's going to guide believers into all truth. Okay? He will not speak on his own authority. He will speak whatever he hears. He, the Holy Spirit, will declare you the things which are to come to us is through the Word of God. And he will glorify Jesus by declaring who belongs to him. He's going to declare it, that you are saved, born again, belonging to Jesus. Jesus says, the Father will speak to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will speak of me, the Son. Right? This is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all in perfect harmony for their will, their purpose, their plan, for their glory. Right? The Holy Spirit loves talking about Jesus Christ and pointing people to Jesus. If you pray to the Holy Spirit, if you pray and ask the Holy Spirit, please tell me more about Jesus, he would be delighted to. Pick up your Bible. He'll tell you all about him. From the very first verse to the very last one, he'll tell you all about him. You want to know more about my son? Pick up your Bible. I've left this story back for you to read. We are blessed to have God's word. Amen? These fellas right here, they only had the Old Testament. They only had parts of it. We got it all. You know what that means? There's no excuse. Smiling again. You tell Michelle when you see her next week, man, Sean was smiling like crazy. Man, was he in a good mood. She couldn't make it today. She's at an associated meeting, but you tell her, man, Sean was in a good mood. Couldn't get him to stop smiling. She said, that doesn't sound like him. He's too passionate. But the Holy Spirit of God, listen, he wrote, as you know, the Holy Spirit of God wrote this book through 40 authors, through his Spirit. He wrote, the Holy Spirit of God wrote this book through these 40 authors as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Right? Peter wrote about it. 2 Peter 1:21, he said, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. As God, he wrote that. That's why they can't debunk it. They've been trying. There's not one contradiction in that book. Not one. I've been combing through this book for years now, every day, hours, nothing contradicted. I just say, Lord, I'm amazed. I am so amazed. So stay in your Bible, let the Holy Spirit, he'll teach you about the love of God, and he'll point you to Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, let's close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we close here today, Lord, as we take on the day, we just thank you for your word, Lord. Keep speaking to us, Lord. Keep speaking to us and help us grow in your word and grow spiritually, Lord. Oh, Lord, we just love you and thank you so much. We thank you so much for being so graceful. Those times when we didn't know you either, Lord, like we do now, and you just never gave up on us. You knew one day we were going to come with all our heart. We thank you for that, Lord, for never giving up. In Jesus' name, amen.